It's time to reclaim control, not just of your law firm, but of your life. Welcome to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. Discover how early adopters are leveraging cutting-edge legal tech and early adoption strategies to lead the industry while embracing work-life balance. Unlock the secrets to a thriving law practice and a balanced, happy life with the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 411 of the Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your co-host, along with my good friend and fellow co-host on the West Coast, Sam Malai. Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Everything is good. Super excited for today's topic because we're talking about marketing.
Yeah.
All right. And today we're talking about the five marketing mistakes lawyers make and how to fix them, especially as is relevant for right now in 2024, because marketing is saturated and inundated with a thousand different ways to be able to generate clients. Hopefully the things I will be sharing with you today be able to help you avoid these traps and these mistakes to help you save a lot of time and money. All right. So let's start off with the first one. Something controversial, but I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
SEO is a dead end. SEO is a dead end. I don't think SEO is effective. 95% of SEO companies are eating your money. I don't know how to say this more expressly. 95% of SEO companies are eating up your money. Let's talk about the reasons why. Number one is SEO is completely saturated and highly competitive. So when it comes to marketing, this is the red ocean. The red ocean of marketing is SEO. Second is SEO companies are completely overpriced. I don't want to call out specific names of company names, but the numbers that I hear about how much these SEO companies are charging is outrageous. I know what the profit margins are, especially not just the profit margins, but actually how long it takes and the effectiveness of that. You know, SEO isn't something that you just do for a couple months and all of a sudden you start getting clients. This is something that takes years of investment. Those are kind of like, I see it as dead end. And the other thing that I see is, the making promises of number one rankings or positions, things like that. Let's talk about that. You know, if you go Google family lawyer or personal injury lawyer on Google, what you will see is you will usually see two Google LSA listings. Then you will see at least two Google Ads listing. Then you will see three local listings. Then you'll see the number one organic listing. Okay, so ultimately all that work is for you to be the eighth ranking position on a page, which good luck trying to even get that position. Good luck to even get on the third page or the second page or the first page, let alone the number one position, especially for these keywords that people have done SEO for years, decades, hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent. You think you're going to come and overtake that law firm? Good luck. It's not as easy as it sounds. Again, a lot of overpromises, overpromises that usually doesn't drive to actual results of what ultimately matters is clients, potential qualified leads and clients. I feel super heated about this because every week I hear these conversations, you know, I'm doing SEO. I'm like, who's doing it? How much are they charging you? And when I hear them, and then I go on the back end, I search SEMrush or these SEO tools and I see the progress. I'm like, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you've been wasting money. Let's take that money and put it in other places like social media ads or other things.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, Sam. In fact, I've done a number of presentations at bar associations in the past, in which I said that, you know, if you're going to do SEO, here's the minimum amount of annual revenue you have to have in order to even consider it. Because if you don't have enough money to have a very robust SEO program, then you're just wasting whatever money you have. And you can't do SEO on a shoestring. So I'm on a shoestring budget. I'm with you. I think for most of us, the opportunities are far more plentiful in other areas. And we're going to talk about a couple of those.
Yeah. So let's talk about the alternatives. If you don't do SEO, then what should you do? Well, the easiest low-hanging fruit that you can do that's probably three times more effective than SEO is for you to just go collect more Google reviews. Literally, if you go and collect more Google reviews, they'll be a lot more effective than a $5,000 or $2,000 a month SEO kind of offer. For that, we have a proven formula that works. This is how I have 3,800 4.9 star Google reviews right now for my first law firm. It's all based on an automation with a very specific script. And that is shared inside of Lawyer Club. If you go to joinlawyerclub.com, I share with you exactly how I was able to do that. All very kosher from all my clients. It works pretty well. I think I get at least 40 to 45% of my clients to leave me reviews. It works pretty well. If you do that, again, it's a lot more worthwhile than paying an SEO company for SEO.
The second I did the same thing, Sam. I started focusing on Google reviews. Now you have, your volume of clients was much larger than mine. But when I started getting the reviews and making sure that we paid attention to the things that we talked about in the last couple of episodes, particularly with respect to client relationships, if you go and look, I have all my reviews. I have close to 70. Every single one of them is a 5-star review. And if you do exactly what you said a couple episodes ago, run the text from all your Google reviews through ChatGPT, you'll find what your strengths are. And I was happy to, I did that. I was happy to learn that exactly as I thought it was client relationship. That was the focus of every review, damn near. And so when you get that many, 5-star reviews, far and away, I have more than any other estate planning attorney in my geographic area. Google, by its, by his own algorithm, is going to rank you higher because that's where the reviews are. They're Google reviews, and they pay attention to that.
Yeah. The other second thing to be mindful of is there's a huge unclarity about the future of Google.
Yeah.
And something that's bound to disrupt Google's dominance in Google search is OpenAI just recently received, just as a couple of days ago, SearchGPT, which is basically a direct Google competitor. So instead of getting a long list of results that you usually get from Google, if you go to SearchGPT, it's not available yet, but they just happened to announce it, then SearchGPT will just give you the answer that you want. And because people's expectations and attention span has dramatically shifted, and people just want ultimately what they're seeking instead of like a long list of things that you have to go and search, people just want the answer. And that's what SearchGPT does. It just gives you the large language models give you the answer directly. So, the way to kind of test this is, and again, these things we're just sharing with you, and it will take some time for this in the next couple of months, I would say, will sort out. If you go to ChatGPT and you ask, who's the best personal injury lawyer or best blank lawyer in your city, and see what comes up. That's where we want to optimize for. And this is kind of, so over time, I think this large language model optimization, LLMO, is where it's going to be at. LLMO will replace SEO, because that'll be crucial, because as more and more people start using ChatGPT and these AI tools, they expect answers quickly, and you want to be there. And there are ways to be able to optimize for that. So, we want to kind of be ahead of the game and do that. We may be able to, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, be able to talk about this in detail more, how to optimize for that. What are some kind of strategic things that you start doing right now to be able to prepare yourself, to be able to feed your, this information to ChatGPT so that, ChatGPT can get to know you better, so that, when somebody does start asking ChatGPT about these things, then you're able to show up.
Yeah. One other thing, until that time happens, until SearchGPT becomes more ubiquitous, you're going to have to feed both beasts. And for Google, the other thing that I found, again, and I've said it in previous episodes, and when I started focusing on video content, marketing, creating short 3-minute videos on a YouTube channel, and then disseminating those videos through all the social platforms and through my email list, that has a tremendous effect on the algorithm, particularly if you're hosting or posting those videos on your website, okay? That way, along with your review, your Google reviews, and the videos, which on YouTube is owned by Google now, that's going to increase your score in the algorithm. So while we're still in Google, still focusing on Google, until such time as we understand what the strategies are for Search GPT, I think those are the two areas to focus on, as you said. Google reviews and video content marketing will give you far more effective results than spending, you know, keyword search.
And one other thing you can do proactively right now is to make sure that you have an About Us page on your website.
Yep.
If you have one, great. Go optimize it. Go add more context to it. That means literally go add more words, go add images, go give it more focus and attention to it. If it's just very skimpy, then no, ChatGPT and OpenAI and these data platforms don't have any information. And they have to potentially make things up. But instead, if you just feed a lot, then OpenAI feels more confident to talk about your law firm. So do that. Be very critical. You know, if you have people that are technical enough, tell them to go, hey, let's put some attention to the About Us page. I promise you, that's where it's at. Again, be proactive.
And one of the reasons for that being the case is that the search engines know how long viewers are spending on the page. So if they're spending a fair amount of time on your About Us page, that again is going to give you higher ranking scores. I have, you know, in my About Us page, you can go to my law firm page and see, you know, the first part of it is all about my family. And only way down to the bottom is my, you know, resume. And when I ask people specifically, what about our website attracted you to contact us? They say, it was the picture of your wife and the dog. It seems like you're a normal guy. And so from the type of positioning that I want for my law firm, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. So the About Us page is critically important.
I love it. And what you just may have put a little hint of something we're going to be talking about later. So yeah. I love that. All right, so let's go to the second biggest mistakes that lawyers make when it comes to the marketing. This might be one of the most important ones, which is not spending enough. Maybe I shouldn't call it spending, not investing enough in marketing. Not investing enough in marketing.
Yeah. You know, when I first met you, Sam, I remember you telling me you had this general rule of thumb and you said, what's the average value for a client in your law firm? And let's say it was, you know, $2,500. You said, then you should be spending $2,500 a month in your Facebook ad campaign. And I thought you were nuts. $2,500 I'm going to spend in Facebook ads? Are you kidding me? I'm thinking more like I'm going to spend $200 or $300. That's more palatable to me. And it's only when I started increasing the spending, largely as a result of, you know, your rule of thumb, that I started to recognize how wise that was.
And Neil, if you would have said your typical client is $10,000, I would have told you to spend $10,000.
I know you would have. I know you would have. Yeah.
And it's kind of taking that approach, starting with the end in mind. As Neil mentioned, how much is a client, one client worth to you? And actually, if you have one of my favorite resources that we have inside of Lawyer Club is how to create a marketing budget for your law firm. It's a Google Doc that you could print out where I ask you these questions and I give you examples and I give you explanations. And if you, by filling it out, you know exactly how to create your marketing budget that sets you up for success. So I'll give you a short gist of it. Again, number one, for the first question is, how much is one average client worth to me? Just for example, let's say $5,000. Second question is, how many clients do I want in my first 3 months? Not in my first month, not in my second month, but in my first 3 months. With marketing, it usually takes some time for you to see what's going on. The first month is always the most misleading. The algorithm is still getting to know you. You're still really haven't optimized anything. You don't know what's working. So typically what I've seen, depending on kind of like the sources, usually 2 to 3 months, at the 3 month mark, you should be profitable. So if that's the case, we create the goal for the 3 month mark. So just for the example, in my first 3 months, I want 9 clients. And, you know, being very specific with this number. So let's just say an average of 3 clients per month for the first 3 months. Great. Third question is, how much is that number of clients worth to me in my first 3 months? Well, math, 5,000 times 9 clients is 45,000. Great. Fourth question, how much money am I willing to invest to make $45,000? And the good rule of thumb is, if you're looking to grow, you should spend at least 1/3 of the money that you're looking to make in marketing. Some people say 20%, some people say 25%, 30, 33. My good number for setting something up is usually 33. So 1/3, I want to be willing to spend up to 1/3 of how much money I want to make on marketing. So that means math, 45,000 divided by 3 is 15,000. That means, fifth question, in my first 3 months, I'm willing to spend $15,000 to get 9 clients in my first 3 months. Okay. That clarity is everything, because it first, you start with the goal and you also kind of setting yourself up for success. If you see that your answer is this amount that you can't really invest in it, then you probably should not. Just make sure that you do it at the right time when you can invest in it, because if you're going to do it correctly. If you do less of that, you don't do it, you stick to it, and you're like kind of changing things around, it's kind of changing the plan midway, and that usually doesn't work. But that I've seen works. It's a proven formula. When I started my marketing, Neil, I started with literally less than $100 to spend. Started with $100, but I was very cutthroat with this kind of analytic. Okay, $100 got me this many number of clients, and I continuously increased my ad spend. And now we spend $900,000 a month and when it comes to ads. And it's all based on these principles, knowing our numbers, knowing how to scale, where to put our money, tracking it, all that stuff. Again, a lot more to talk about, but it's all based on this kind of formula of knowing how much you spend and sticking with the regimen.
And let's just revisit that for a second. Okay. So for every dollar you put into marketing, you got, your objective was to get $3 back in return.
Correct. Minimum, right? $2 profit for every dollar invested.
Every dollar invested. And you started off with $100 ad
pretty
spend.
Much, yeah. Okay? Pretty much.
And just repeat the number that you said you're spending now.
Even sounds outrageous to me. Yeah, $900,000, literally almost $1 million a month in ads across my four law firms. Yeah.
So you don't start off spending almost $1 million. You build and build and build, and every time your revenue goes up, that 2x that we were talking about, when your revenue goes up, your marketing budget has to go up, has to keep pace with that in order to continue to achieve that growth.
Yeah, and if that number doesn't, if your number of how much you spend in marketing doesn't scare you, that means you're not investing enough in marketing if you're looking to grow.
Now you have to do the work to make sure that what you're producing is effective. If it's not effective, you got to change it to make it more effective. You got to find out what's working, what's not working, double down on what is, and let go of what isn't.
Yeah,
you don't want to send good money out after bad.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm not looking to make profit for my law firms. Why? But Neil, because I don't want to pay taxes on it. So whatever money that I make, I'm looking to reinvest that back into my business so I could 3x or 4x or 5x it. And I remember in my first couple of years of doing this, I remember really scaling. We're getting 800% ROI. Things a little bit more tougher than what they were before, but we're still getting a good 3-4x on our return on our investment when it comes to marketing. And the other thing that I share is results lag your actions. So, you gotta invest and then give it some time to see what pans out. But again, if you have the right plan, you have the right goals, you're being cutthroat with knowing what works, what doesn't, you're constantly optimizing and kind of adopting the things. And the other thing I always try to do is not to stay stagnant when it comes to our budget. Again, I always ask myself, am I getting at least the ROI that I want? If it is, then I'm always looking to increase that ad spend up until where it doesn't make sense anymore. If I start breaking even or start losing money, then that's when I kind of taper off and kind of limit it. But until then, I'm going to continue spending money. I think, Neil, I have a feeling that by next year, I'm going to be spending over $1.5 million a month in ads. And I hope I will be, because again, the formula is there. So I just want to stick with the regiment until, you know, I really can't anymore.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. The third lawyer marketing mistake is not focusing on collecting Google reviews. Google reviews, this is one of your equities in your law firm. It's an asset. And it's something that compounds over time, because the more Google reviews you collect now will help you get more clients in the future. And that compounds. You know, you get 10 Google reviews this month, another 10 Google reviews next month, and you continuously kind of grow from there. And Neil, something you shared earlier in the episode was that image of you and your dog, you mentioned?
My wife and the dog.
Yeah, your wife and your dog. That was genius, because that really leads to KLT.
Yep.
When it comes to signing up clients, it's all about KLT. Know, like, and trust. Until your prospects know you, like you, and trust you, they'll never hire you. So if you ever have a hard time signing up clients where you talk to a lot of prospects and you're like, what happened? They stopped responding back to me, they didn't follow through, they went and hired somebody else. It's usually because of those three letters. They probably don't know you well enough, don't like you well enough. And for the most part, I would say the trust part is the biggest part of this factor. And they don't trust you enough. And guess what? Google reviews is the biggest factor when it comes to trust, for sure, liking, for sure, and also knowing you. It contributes to all three.
Yeah, and there's a tendency for us attorneys to say, I want to keep my personal life separate from my professional life. And while that's true, I don't think that there's any reason why you can't share with potential clients who you are as a person, okay? So I let them know that the two biggest joys in my life are my adult children, and I have pictures of my adult children on my About Us page. I have a picture of my wife and the dog, and that's just, it's a crazy great picture. And when I ask people what attracted you to the firm, they often say it's the picture of your wife and the dog. I just love that. Seems like you're somebody that we can work with. And then I went to your Google reviews, and I see that people that I know or people that are in similar circumstances to me have found that you serve them well. And so now I trust you. Now I know you a little bit. I like you a little bit, and I trust you a lot. And that's a recipe for getting qualified prospective clients.
Yeah. Just assume that your prospects are going to Google you before they hire you. So,
You know,
and it's not like they only see yours. They see yours and they compare you to someone else who has more reviews. And just based on that, doesn't matter how amazing a lawyer you are and how much you can help them, if you don't have good reviews, and you don't have enough reviews, and the quality of the reviews aren't good, then you're going to have a hard time converting. So really hone in on that, focus on that. Good news is for our listeners, if you go to joinlawyerclub.com, join our free community, I share with you the recipe for how to collect a lot of Google reviews, the most effective method I've seen that works for free. All you have to do is go there, look that up inside of our community. It's all there for you. Automated review collection system. It works like a charm, as we mentioned in early episodes. And yeah, and that's how I was able to gather 3,834 4.9-star Google reviews. The system that I created about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, still the same system, literally same exact script, Neil. Nothing has changed at all. And that's
amazing.
That's shared with everybody instead of Lawyer Club.
And of course, it goes without saying, do a good job. You know, you want to get a good review, do a good job.
Ask. And address negative reviews professionally and promptly. Good news is ChatGPT can do that really, 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 really well. So just go to, you know, if you have any Google negative Google reviews, you know, try to address them. That will, you know, be able to turn a sour patch into a yummy, delicious patch.
And address them in a positive manner. Don't get into name calling and mudslinging.
Good advice, Neil. All right. The fourth lawyer marketing mistake, one of the most important ones, is not knowing your numbers. Data-driven decisions, it's all about that. Scaling your marketing with key metrics. Maybe may have mentioned this in our past episodes. The very least, the two most important numbers are, Neil, what are the top two?
Well, the cost per acquisition of new client is one of them. And we mentioned before the average lifetime value of a customer.
Perfect. Exactly. Spot on. How much does it cost to acquire a client? And how much is that client worth to me? Fundamental, you just have to know those two numbers for each marketing source on a monthly basis. If you can get that down, marketing becomes easy. And if you see that you're profitable, spend more, do more.
And it's not rocket science, is it?
No.
I mean, just describe, Sam, how you come up with cost per acquisition. I know you can do it in two sentences.
It's your marketing cost, whatever that is. And usually when your marketing cost is two parts. One is your ad budget. And the second part is your management budget. When it comes to this calculation, cost per acquisition, I don't include the marketing cost, the management cost into this. And I've had this kind of debate with other people, and I've shared this before, and some people kind of question it. The reason why is because the variable in this equation is your ad budget. So I'm just looking to get a raw sense of, with this certain ad budget, what's my cost acquisition? How many clients am I generating? And that's the variable in this equation. So yes, does it matter that you're also paying $2,000 a month for your management? Sure. But again, for the sake of just knowing what the lever that I need to change is, let's just say I'm spending $5,000. If I change that $5,000 a month that I spend on ads, what happens if I spend $10,000 and I want to be able to evaluate that for that purpose, for that reason, then I only take the cost of however much I spent on ads that particular month divided by the number of clients that I got from that source. I spent $10,000 for four clients, then my cost per acquisition is $2,500.
Yep.
And then I'll share some numbers, things like a lot of people kind of struggle with what should be the expected cost per acquisition. Let me just share with you, minimum, doesn't matter what niche you're in, you're going to spend at least minimum $500 to acquire a client. So, and minimum is that. The top limit, there is no ends. We could talk about, what to expect, but minimum is $500. So what that means is if you have a service that's less than $1,000 or less, that's going to be very hard to scale, because if it costs you a minimum of $500, first of all, that's like minimum. So maybe be even more, even if you have a good marketing, person that can do this for you. You're going to have a hard time scaling. So this is a very call to action. I hear a lot of lawyers who join our program. Some people have low tickets, and I'm always like, how much do you charge for a client? And as soon as I hear anything below $3,500, then I'm always get concerned. And I try to share the truth is that, there is cost to marketing. There is a cost to this. So make sure that at the very least your services or whatever your clients are worth at least $3,500 or more. And then in other niches, depending on one niche and where you're geographically based, that could be as high as $5,000 or even more. For some niches where the client value is higher, well, if your client worth is $15,000, then that's okay to spend $5,000. But if your client worth is only $5,000, then I would potentially look to only spend about $2,000 to acquire a client. So again, it really comes down to knowing your lifetime customer value. And we kind of did the math a little bit earlier in this podcast, and then working backwards to know how much am I willing to spend up to, then starting the marketing and then seeing where that levels off. And then at that point, make a decision, should I scale this up? Should I invest more and do more of it? Or can I optimize? Or should I pause this? Now I always try to ask a very polarizing question at the end of the month, that number at that question, scale or pause, scale or pause. And I was trying not to kind of stay stagnant, when it comes to marketing. And let me also address one other thing that I was also here is vanity metrics. Vanity metrics, these are things like clicks, impressions, click-through rate, cost per click. These things don't matter. Don't get bogged down on those details. If anything, it's a hindrance to growth when you focus on that. Don't look at it. It doesn't matter. Let your media buyer or the person who's doing your marketing for you worry about that. All you care about as a law firm owner is how much did it cost me to generate a client and how many clients did I get and what's my lifetime customer value.
Yep.
No, don't get too nitty-gritty. Oh, shoot, I checked my Google Ads account. Why is our cost per click $17? It shouldn't be $17. Who cares? If your cost per click is $17, but you still are profitable on the back end, so be it. So don't get bogged down on those little vanity metrics that don't really matter.
Yeah, I like this because it's a simplistic yet focused approach on knowing your numbers. I think we, as you said, we get bogged down in those vanity numbers, and these are the only things that matter because they're the only things that contribute to the profit.
Yeah. All right. The fifth marketing mistake is what worked before doesn't work now. All right. Things are constantly evolving, and it's all about adopting and constantly innovating and being the front runner. You know, just like everything in life, the people who get the result are the people who jump on something early and are aggressive about it before the rest of the market catches on. And again, we lean towards that. That's our, one of our secret recipes is we stay on top of these trends. We share it out there. We set up these systems for other lawyers instead of our program. And we are very aggressive with it. We don't dabble in things. We either do it hardcore or we don't. And that's all done by, again, being insightful, being open to sharing these strategies, being open with sharing what works, being very cutthroat with sharing what doesn't work, and constantly pivoting. Sometimes I feel bad for my team because sometimes, you know, we're like going somewhere. I'm like, okay, guys, no, I think we should be over here. And sometimes that constant pivot kind of throws my team off, but it's because of that constant pivoting and that constant adopting is I think the reason why we're here, because we're constantly just questioning things and we're not just going towards a path that, you know, is a dead end. And we're willing to always adopt.
And in the past, we have been guilty of sticking with the old methodologies because they worked at one time and we think, well, they should work. They should still work. But you only have to look at the fact, when I first started in a practice of law, every personal injury attorney that I knew, worth their salt, had a full page, yellow page ad. Okay? You can't even find a phone book anymore, right? So that clearly doesn't work. And I think we've covered a couple of other strategies that have evolved. You know, there was a time when if simply having a website put you a leg up. Now you have to have a great website. Okay? You can't just have a simple website and hope that, you know, clients are going to walk in the door because you have some, you know, crappy little website. You have to have a website that really works for you and does the takes an automated approach and leverages your technology to the maximum. Things like SEO we talked about earlier today. You know, I think we're moving away from that. And you know, one of the complaints that attorneys have is I can't possibly keep up with this, Sam. It's changing too quickly. You know, I'm getting overwhelmed by this. And what I love about your approach is you have the solution. It's right there in front of us. We've been talking about it all day. You know, communities like Lawyer Club and My Legal Academy, you know, you guys are staying on top of that shift and change in the marketing strategies that and making sure, I'm sure your teams get whiplash from going from one direction to another, but that's because you're staying on top of what's working and what's working is changing that quickly. So, you know, that's your solution, folks.
Yeah. The call to action, go to mylegalacademy.com, at least at the very least to speak to us. For the past couple of years, you know, we built up a support team of automation experts because we realized the automation is key for creating a lot of value instead of law firms. And now, practically right now, we're hiring AI experts, people that set up kind of intake AI, document processing, document collection when it comes to AI. And again, my law firms act as the guinea pigs, hired a couple of these vendors myself, see what works, what doesn't. And then once I see that it's working, then we go build that same support instead of our program. And we offer that as an ongoing program for My Legal Academy members. So again, if you want to be on the front runner of these things, especially when it comes to AI and automations, we're definitely the source for that. All right. So amazing good value being shared. Just a quick little recap. SEO is a dead end. Instead, what we want to focus on is number one, Google reviews. Number two, large language model optimization. Don't fall for SEO companies. I'm so sorry to call that out. Second is not investing enough in marketing. You know, be very systematic with how much you spend. Start with the end in mind. At the very least, good rule of thumb is to spend at least one client worth on your marketing per month for per each source. Number three, focus more on Google reviews, because your Google reviews build up your KLT, know, like, and trust. If you ever have trouble signing up clients, your first mindset should be, do they know me? Do they like me? And do they trust me? And go focus on collecting more and more Google reviews. Number four, know your numbers. Make decisions based on your cost per acquisition and your lifetime customer value. And number five, what worked before won't work now. Go lean in on those things that are working right now. I think we'll need to dedicate an episode on what's working right now. You know, I think that'll be a good, fruitful thing to do for to talk about that. So we'll definitely do that. Hopefully,
yeah, because I want to talk to you about TikTok ads, TikTok marketing, Facebook Reels, all that kind of micro video marketing, which I need to learn more about. So I'm going to be paying close attention to that when we get to this discussion.
That one is wide open right now. So we'll dedicate an episode to TikTok ads. I personally hate TikTok. I'm a huge TikTok. I think it's poison to be a consumer of TikTok. But on the other end, I spend $150,000 a month on TikTok ads. So I know
because
how to
it leverage. Works.
Oh, yeah, it works. So we'll share that insight with you. Appreciate you. Thank you, Neil.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.